Welcome to the podcast for the Food, Nutrition, and Health PRU. I have with me Sue Schneider. Welcome. I'm so glad that you could come and join me and let me interview you for this. So tell us your name, I guess, and what you do for Extension, and then tell us a little bit about what area of health you're most passionate about.
Well, thanks for having me. This is an exciting moment to be able to talk about health in Extension. My name is Sue Schneider, and I am the Extension State Specialist, the Health Lead, which is a new position. We haven't had an Extension Health Specialist on a state level for quite a while. I was an Extension agent for the last 7 years in the Larimer County office, but now I get to really help to design our health strategies and see if we can expand our health initiatives across the state. What area of health am I most passionate about? I think at this point in my career, the word that stands out for me is resilience. I'm really interested in how both individuals and communities tap into their inherent strengths to improve all aspects of their health and even maximize their well-being. And I come at resilience kind of from two angles. I'm a medical anthropologist, and so through this, my focus is really on the macro level or the community level. And I'm really interested in how diverse communities organize and mobilize to ensure that everyone has access to resources. Everything from healthcare to home care to therapeutic services and transportation, safe spaces to walk, and that they have education and supports they need to flourish. And I've been doing this kind of community work for over 20 years, and I'm always so inspired by how communities come together and support each other and really address their needs and desires and strengths. And on the other side of this, I'm really passionate about how we as individuals cultivate our inner resilience. And this is really the foundation of how we live our lives in community. And I come at this because I'm a certified integrative health coach and a certified mindfulness instructor. And I've been coaching and teaching individuals for over 10 years around how to grow inner resources and access the tools that can help us rebound and recover from trauma. In the last couple of years, this has been really important given all the difficulties we've been facing. So really, I'm passionate about the inner work and the outer work, and I know all of this finds a good home at Extension.
Well, the nice thing about Extension is you can really have a passion and pursue it in any way you want to. I mean, there's literally a space for every single passion here, which is nice. All right. Well, thanks for sharing about your background. I think that it was really awesome to hear a little bit about that. I know a lot of people don't really know, but both you and I kind of fell into Extension. It wasn't something that was like a career path on our realm, so that is kind of fun to hear about your background and your medical anthropology and just all of the health work you're doing. So thank you. All right. So to start out, can you share a little bit with me about the impacts that COVID has had on Colorado communities in relation to health and well-being?
Yeah, you know, this is actually a good starting point to talk about health in a difficult kind of way, because I think we really, when we're looking at today's current landscape, we really need to acknowledge the last couple of years and what's been involved. And research has shown kind of a few key trends relating to the fallout of COVID. One of the things that's really been impacted is social isolation. We know, especially for older adults, that, you know, really became largely homebound. This affected so much, a lot of, you know, behavioral health issues. But not only older adults, people are still trying to figure out what is healthy connection, and a sense of belonging was lost during that time. And we know so many different difficult social and political things happened over the last couple of years that have really, I think, severed some of the fabric of our community. And I think people are trying to figure out where to come back and connect. And that affects our health in so many different ways. So I mentioned behavioral health. We also, the research tells us clearly anxiety and depression have increased exponentially.
Yes, for sure.
People are dealing with so many struggles in this area. And a general sense of insecurity. We've all been through trauma. And there's been so much grief and loss and fear. And what do we do with all this trauma, individually and socially? It's really taken a toll. And I think these are really important things to look at when we're doing community health work, is exploring kind of all these levels of trauma. But then there are also the difficult economic implications. Food insecurity, research tells us, has been significantly impacted. People have been hit hard, and I think there's a lot of work within Extension that's working on this level. When I was in Larimer County Extension during the heart of COVID, we were doing a market days program, making sure that older adults got access to fresh produce, and we pivoted and made sure that we would deliver bags of produce in people's homes. And while it was just the produce, perhaps, or we stuck resources for aging in those bags, it was so much more than that, because people would open the door and just feel like someone cared about them. Right. Someone was connected to them. Mm-hmm. And so this food insecurity issue, how do we maximize the connections we can make, not only through addressing the basic mm-hmm. primary needs, but also some of these mental health needs?
I wanted to dive into that a little bit more. So as far as the isolation and everything, have you seen any impacts with kids in the fact that for so long they were at home doing school? And that's a huge social miss on our part, I think, right? And what does that look like for their development and health? And like you were saying, anxiety and depression, I think that has skyrocketed in teens and everybody, right? So
absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's something we really need to pay attention to. I think the research is just now coming out, especially mm-hmm. for kids who are in high school now, who seem to have bore the brunt of a lot of this in terms of that isolation. I think it depends on what age these kids were. I think it depends on whether parents were home and able to accommodate, and how their teachers manage this, what kind of supports they had. But we absolutely know, from an educational standpoint, we've fallen behind. But from an emotional standpoint, I was talking to somebody earlier today who said she was a retired woman who actually was asked to step back in as a high school counselor because the need was so great. So along with the incredible, behavioral health needs we have, we also have a tremendous number of teachers that retired or left in droves, feeling burdened, feeling overwhelmed, feeling burnt out. So we're dealing with this crisis on so many different levels,
right?
The professionals, the parents, the kids, all across the board.
Yeah, no, it's completely crazy. It is, an ongoing issue that will probably have lasting effects, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right. What is your impression of the impact that COVID has had on the organization like Extension, and how has it impacted our work?
Yeah, and that's a really important question, too. I fear that we're moving too fast away from COVID, trying to get back to normal and not really looking at this, because the impacts are still here. I think as Extension professionals, we are designed as human beings to look outward and see how we can help and how we can fix and how we can mend. But the reality is that we, all of us, everyone working in Extension, are all part of communities. We're all part of families. A lot of us are parents. We're part of organizations. And we all have been affected as well.
Right.
One obvious thing was the quick switch to virtual meetings. I think many would agree that's been a really beneficial thing for our work in many ways. I wouldn't be able to do this statewide health work
right.
with the efficiency I can do it without this kind of change in the way we work. But the reality is all of this, Zoom meeting and Teams meeting, is also leading to mental burnout and fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting for the research to come out and help us understand, what is this doing to us by looking at screens and flattening the people that we're looking at, decreasing the actual connection we have.
Yeah.
I think another part of the fallout is that we, as organizations, just began doing things too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
With the efficiency of the way we were able to meet and trying to meet the demands of so many people, I think we sped up, and I've heard this from people in all different sectors. I know I have sped up. I know I have felt it, and I have been, you know, dealing with the fallouts of my own burnout and trying to take care of myself. And so I think the important point here is not to dwell on, you know, how habits have changed for the worse. I think we need to think about how we turn them around and we slow things down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, we think about how we can take care of ourselves. You know, I talked in the beginning about one of my passions being helping people develop our own inner strengths and resources. That I see is really a fundamental foundation for our work here in Extension. How we take care of ourselves equates to how we can bring compassionate care out into the community. So this is a really important issue for us to really talk more about and think about how we can support each other.
Yeah, no, I think that's huge. I mean, I would love to hear kind of your impression or what you have seen that has been successful as far as taking care of our employees and what we're doing post-COVID now to kind of fill the cups of those people and to help with that health. Have you seen anything that's been successful or that you think could be successful long-term? Like strategies as far as dealing with everything.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we have an organization that understands this issue and cares deeply about its employees. I think the onus is on us as employees to ask for what we need, to take time off when we recognize that we need to do a little bit of self-care. I personally have been met with incredible support from my supervisors and the people around me when I've expressed the need, because I'm aware of what I needed to take care of myself. We need to kind of institutionalize this and have leadership talk about it. Self-care is important. You have the right as employees to take some time off and not schedule meetings on certain days. We have, as employees, have to slow things down ourselves and make sure we create that time for ourselves. Yeah. Make that a priority too, along with the care that we give to others.
Right. Well, we're our biggest advocates, right?
We are.
Yeah. I think we're coming out of, you kind of came from a hustle culture, right, before COVID, where it was, let's just go dive into work and that's all you're going to do. Yeah. And there is no time off. Like, you don't have time to do that. So this is a really interesting period that we're moving into where post-COVID, now we're really focusing on the human behind the screen, which is so cool. And I'm so glad that we're shifting, this way.
Yeah. And so the question is, I mean, can we press the reset button right now and try to do things a little bit differently?
Right.
Just acknowledge where we are.
Yeah. Well, and I think the shift is kind of even coming from these big Fortune 500 companies where people are like, I don't want to do this anymore. And so they're moving to these mom and pop shops where they are getting that self-care. Yeah. They're getting what they need post-COVID, which is amazing.
Right. So we see this all over the country. People are choosing to leave their jobs or choosing to take on different kinds of responsibilities and work in different kinds of ways. Yeah. So I do think this is the moment, and organizations can redefine how we do it. And there are a lot of, you know, wellness supports and classes and, you know, opportunities available for us as employees as well. But I do think the biggest key here is just the communication from leadership and making this a cultural shift. And we're all in agreement. We have what we need to take care of ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, what is Extension's responsibility to in helping to rebuild resilience in our communities?
Yeah, this is interesting. And I'm glad we named the responsibility to helping rebuild our own resilience first, because that is the first step.
Yeah.
But I do think that Extension is uniquely positioned in this way. I mean, we have offices all over the state. We have incredible trust from within the community. And I very much knew this before over the years that I've been working in Extension, but it really kind of became really clear after I've been on a kind of input session tour for the last basically 9 months to really understand from internal and external stakeholders what can, you know, Health Extension look like. And what I kept hearing from our external partners and stakeholders is that, you know, there is only one Extension. There is only one organization that has this level of trust in the community. Because of COVID and because the public health vaccination discussion got so challenging in communities. Public health is not a trusted entity in communities. But Extension never wavered in their support. Right. Not public health didn't waver in their support, but the community did not look at Extension any differently. Right. And so we are there. And for that reason, we have a great responsibility. Mm-hmm. We also have a great responsibility to help communities build resilience because we have the skills. Our professionals know how to listen to community. We know how to assess needs. We know how to engage community residents and community mm-hmm. partners and identifying solutions. We know how to move resources into the community. We know how to write grants. We know how to develop and deliver educational programs. It is mm-hmm. unique that people working in community have this level of skill. And so the communities certainly need to define what they need and how they want to collaborate with us, but we definitely have a toolkit mm-hmm. And can support communities in really strengthening and building resilience.
Yeah. Well, one of the nice things about Extension as a whole is the people that are out there and working in these communities, they live in the community, yes. right? They're a part of it. They run ranches. They yeah. are in it every single day yeah. personally.
Yeah.
Apart from work, which I think is a really cool thing about Extension that completely differentiates us from any other organization where at other organizations, they aren't in the communities. They aren't living the life that the people we're trying to interact with are living.
Right.
So they can't speak from that experience where right. the people we have on the ground, they can.
Yeah.
So
that is such a good point. So then to add to that asset yeah. list is they speak, they have the lived experiences
right.
and
exactly.
they're not just the community partners, they're friends, they're family right. members, they're participants in the community. So what they're doing is for their own families
right.
as well as for their communities.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think that we've seen this like post-COVID. I mean, there were a lot of small businesses that closed right yeah. during COVID. We lost a lot of really awesome small businesses
yeah.
to these big businesses that were gonna win out no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so it's cool to see Extension try and shift and bring some of those resources back and try and help
yes.
these communities rebuild what
yes.
was lost in that.
So, yeah.
And I think that that's a bigger discussion than health, but I think that it all kind of comes back to this underlying discussion of what we're doing now and what we're doing, what we need to do better.
Right. right. Well, and then you throw in the fact that we have this incredible support from the CSU Board of Governors for our Rural Engagement Initiative in which,
yeah.
you know, you're talking about small businesses. We have a whole side of work going on around economic development,
right.
Vibrant communities. And these are really critical components for
yeah.
recovery and resilience for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right, as the state health specialist, how do you determine the priorities of health and well-being work that Extension will be doing around the state?
Yeah, well, this is really the heart of what we are working on right now. I mean, we've done already some amazing work around our community needs assessment,
yeah.
and it's wonderful to take a look at that data by county and by our current regions and see where those trends are, and that's really an important starting point. But speaking of the Rural Engagement Initiative, we recently hired 14 new rural specialists, and it's amazing. They started at the same time. They were trained at the same time. They're working in different areas. I mentioned community development, vibrant communities, but also food systems and
mm-hmm.
Education and along with health. They are knee deep right now in gathering data. They're doing informational interviews, talking to potential partners, exploring what Extension's already doing, what the gaps are, and they're going to be putting together work plans by the end of the year. So we're going to roll those work plans up into a statewide health plan. We're looking at the data. We're building a mapping project as well so we can visualize where those assets are across the state. And then there's this whole iterative conversation. We have to talk to our regional directors and our county directors and our agents. Does this resonate? You know, when these work plans come around, does this make sense to you? What's missing? What do you think we should
mm-hmm.
focus on? And it's not, these choices aren't always about, you know, the most critical need at this moment, because sometimes that we're not ready for. Sometimes it's about the low-hanging fruit. Where can we get an easy win? Where can we build more trust? Where can we build a partnership? Where can we write a grant together and work our way up sometimes to the most critical needs? We don't know how it's going to play out, but we're going to be really digging deep and looking at what the issues are. And at the same time, I have to mention this, but we're also in the process of hiring 4 new AgriAbility behavioral health specialists who are going to be deployed in different regions across the state as well. And so, you know, take our health specialists and, you know, have them collaborate with our behavioral health specialists, and all of a sudden you have some real power out there. So we're going to see what kind of skills these new folks bring as well.
Talking about AgriAbility, can you just kind of like explain a little bit about that? Because some people may not know what AgriAbility is and what the mission behind it is. So can you dive a little bit into that?
The Colorado AgriAbility Project has been around for about, I think, 23 years. Mm-hmm. And historically, it's been working with farmer and rancher families directly, one-on-one, a lot of supports around development, disability assistance. So the specialists will go into their homes and spend 3-5 hours with them just exploring what's happening, what their needs are, what they're limited from because of an accident or an injury or aging sometimes, and explore how they can perhaps support them in addressing, you know, whatever is limiting their work in the fields or on the ranch or whatever the needs are. And now with new state funding, we're actually in kind of increasing the focus to include behavioral health. Right. So we're going to be hiring specialists with behavioral health background who are going to be able to do workshops in the community, mm-hmm. train folks around suicide prevention, you know, address the opioid abuse issues in our communities, and continue working with our farmer and rancher families and communities to support their needs. We have a lot of areas to put our attention on to really support the well-being of these communities.
All right, so where do you see the health work of extension going in the next 5 years?
Well, there are so many directions, and it largely depends on, you know, what our specialists are finding in the field and how that matches up with where our organization is and what we can deliver and support. But I'll just say a couple of broad things about this. I think workforce development is a huge area for health with us. I mean, when I talk about workforce development, I'm talking about capacity to work with communities around addressing, you know, social determinants of health, what's missing, how to build resilience. We have not only the expanding specialists, but, you know, we're going to look into things like potentially adding AmeriCorps members. There are a whole cadre of community health workers that are AmeriCorps members that are going to be getting significant training in our state. How can we collaborate with them, collaborating with regional health connectors? This is another large network of folks doing community health work. They're more clinically connected. Their work is run through an organization called Trailhead Institute, but when we collaborate with them, all of a sudden we're leveraging the, you know, coalitions we can be building, the education programs we can provide. And I imagine we'll be able to have a positive impact on behavioral health in our communities because of this expanded workforce, not just through extension, but our collaborations. I guess I could point out also we have a lot of momentum in healthy aging work over the last couple of years. We all know our population is rapidly changing, our demographic is shifting. Mm-hmm. That's not going to go away. We need to support aging adults and ensure that they have access to the things that can help them thrive in their lives. We know that Aging Mastery Program has been wildly successful throughout the state, and not only have we been running a number of programs in, I don't know, like 11 counties, but we've also been running Aging Mastery in Spanish and in a couple of counties. We've been running it in multiple languages in Aurora, and then in the spring, we're going to be adapting the Aging Mastery Program with the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe.
That is awesome.
And be learning kind of from their perspective what should a healthy aging program look like. We have, dementia is certainly a significant issue. Mm-hmm. Anyone listening to this podcast would be nodding their heads and saying, ah, yes, I know what toll dementia is taking in our community. And we're looking at a broad collaboration to be able to really expand dementia supports and education. Those are just a few examples of our aging right. programming. And really what this speaks to is the value of health equity. How mm-hmm. do we support members in our community that right. have historically not had access to some of these resources? And really building culturally sensitive programming and learning from our communities. What's working? What else can we do to support them? And at the end of the day, what happens in 5 years, I would hope that the fabric of our communities are strengthened. It's not just Extension's work. It's our work with all of the entities out there trying right. to make a change and trying to support communities, through engagement and through building a renewed sense of belonging. It may look different yeah. than it did before COVID. Right. And really, just expanding what we do so well, which has always been to safeguard the health and well-being of our mm-hmm. of our Colorado communities, in part because Extension has all these skills and assets, and in part because they're so trusted in our communities.
Yeah, well, I totally agree with all of that. I think that going forward, there needs to be not only just an emphasis on the enterprise, but the person, right? Like, person. We need to be out there yeah. actively advocating for our own health, but others' yeah. health as well. So
yes.
I think that's a huge thing. Yeah. Last question really quick before we close out. I wanted to ask, are you seeing any sort of trend on mm-hmm. the Western Slope, Front Range, Mountain? What are you seeing mm-hmm. as far as health? Is it kind of across the board just the same, or mm-hmm. are there big picture items that you're seeing in each region of Colorado that we really need to focus on?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And honestly, that's the perfect lead-in question for what we need is a series of podcasts yeah. to look at each of these regions and the right. kind of health landscapes in them. Because the answer is absolutely yes. Each of these regions have a different history, and they mm-hmm. have a different economy to some extent, and they have different flows of life and how people are, working and living and how they recreate and what they have access to. Yeah. The demographics are different and mm-hmm. The economics are different. And so, yeah, it's definitely too early for me to give you any specifics on that, but I would love if we could invite our new health specialists and really be able to explore this question within their own regions. What are they seeing?
Awesome.
What does that look like? And how does that spur some kind of creative innovation
right.
and collaborative work with yeah. their communities? So right. maybe we
can... Well, it would be even awesome to collaborate with Extension from across the country, right? Because
yes.
it's not just a Colorado issue. This
is
a countrywide, this is a worldwide issue
yeah.
that we need to address.
Yes.
So.
And Extension systems across the country are building their own unique health extension
right.
programs that look very different based upon their histories and the needs
yeah.
of their communities. And so it would be interesting also to take a look across the country at
what
some of those examples look like.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It would be so cool to see what health looks like in 10 years, because I think
yeah.
that we're at the forefront of this, right?
Yeah,
it's really
for
starting
sure.
to blossom. And
yeah.
so now this is, I think it's going to be cool
yeah.
going forward. So,
yeah.
Well, thanks so much for joining me. Can you share a little bit about how to connect with you or the other health specialists if people want to get in touch with you? I know that they would love to know about that. So
yeah. Well, so again, my name is Sue Schneider, and really the quickest way is send me an email, sue.schneider, S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R, @colostate.edu. We have a page on the SharePoint Drive that has information on the Rural Engagement Initiative.
Okay.
And we have some wonderful interviews with our three health specialists posted
yeah.
up there. You can hear a little bit about them and where they're coming from, what they hope to do in their roles, in these new roles as health specialists. So check out the Rural Engagement Initiative page on
okay.
SharePoint.
Awesome. Well,
yeah.
thanks so much. This was great. Hopefully
thank
we can
you.
Do this again soon. So.
Yeah. Thank you,
Kaylee. Thanks.
All right.